Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
Hello, it's Tanya Isley, publisher of MBE Magazine, and welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of MBE Magazine, where we are driving the conversation and discussions around diversity and diverse-owned businesses. Today, we're continuing our Beyond the Logo series with Brooke Foley, the CEO of Jane Agency, a boutique brand strategy firm and a certified WBE. As most of you know, MBE Magazine and Jane Agency have partnered to create Beyond the Logo, a content series of articles and webinars led by Jane Agency on brand strategy, clarity, positioning, and much more. In each article, Brooke and her team present real-world examples by talking to MWBEs just like you. If you missed any of these articles, you can always find them on our website, mbemag.com. There's tons of valuable information in those articles that can help you do business better. Now, in this episode, Brooke is going to talk about the interconnectedness between founders' vision and brand promise and how those work together to create impact. She'll be joined by Lasagna Berry, CEO of McPherson Berry & Associates, and they're going to talk about why keeping your promises now is critical for the future of your business and for the next generation of emerging entrepreneurs in the diverse supply chain. And for those who don't know, Lasagna is a past 2013 MBE Magazine cover feature, and since that time, she's gone on to do some amazing things in her industry. But if you want to get a glimpse of her journey, you can check out the article at digital.mbemag.com. Now back to the podcast. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm looking forward to this discussion, as I'm sure everyone else is. Brooke, I'll hand things over to you now.
Thanks, Tanya. And we're always grateful to be working with MBE Magazine to build out not just your position and promise, but every entrepreneur who looks to MBE Magazine to grow their scalable, repeatable, dependable brand position and promise. Today, we're excited to talk about WBEs who rock and how their promises, personal and professional, are making waves in the industry. We're joined by Lasagna Berry, CEO of McPherson Berry & Associates, fierce WBE and promise keeper. Lasagna's commitment to her personal and professional brand vision has been rooted in her ability to follow through on her word. Through her company, she's currently making impact across the diverse supply chain, from mentoring and elevating the next generation of emerging business leaders, entrepreneurs, to supporting small businesses and helping them thrive. In the spring 2024 installment of Beyond the Logo, Lasagna shares why keeping her brand promise is so important, how her ability to chase her vision is a product of that, and why and how she continues to keep her word for the benefit of those around her. And I myself, as a business partner, have directly felt that impact. So let's jump in with a first question. What is your personal brand promise, Lasagna? And what is McPherson Berry & Associates brand promise?
Yes, I would say this. Okay, so when we talk about personal brand promise, whether for me, whether it's personal or for the company, they all intertwine. Because I live what I believe in, I work in the same way in which I do personally. So when I think about personal brand and your promise, I think of keeping a commitment. So for me, a promise is a commitment. But one of the key things about that commitment and keeping your promise is the fact that you don't give it out lightly. Okay, don't give it out lightly. So if you can't do it, of course, we always say don't say what you can't do. Always, over deliver. But here's the key thing. None of us are perfect. I think we forget about sprinkling with grace. So a personal brand promise and the promise of McPherson Berry is we're committed to do our very best with success and obligations. But more importantly, we remember to make sure we keep grace in the midst of that. Whether we are giving grace to our clients or they're giving grace to us. So we're all about grace, meeting expectations. I don't even say exceeding expectations. Because the thing is, if you're doing not just the bare minimum, because we're not a bare minimum type person. I'm not a bare minimum type person, and neither is my company. So when I agree and promise to do something, I want to make sure that my expectations are met. We do allow for some exceptions, but more importantly, we are sprinkling it with a whole lot of grace. So we are guaranteed for success.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I know I'm not. But you help leaders and businesses develop into the best version of themselves. Is that correct?
Yep, that's my personal mantra, is developing people and organizations to be their best.
And I could tell you from working beside you and at times for you that you do strive to have everybody be their best. Where do you think that stems from?
You know, for me, it is something, it's a part of me as a person. I am a lifelong learner, so I'm always trying to learn, grow, and do my very best. But at the core of me, I'm very much a helper and a developer. I can remember from as long as I can, as far back, I won't tell my age because I'm still very young. But here's my key thing. I can tell you a story personally about my life. I remember my parents sharing with me, even when I was young, I would have a bad time. They often would catch me up under the covers with a flashlight and reading a book. So I, at my very core, about reading and learning and then passing that on to others. So development and growth is not just something that I do. It embarks me. It's who I am. And that is the same thing that I carry over. And reason why I created McPherson Berry is because I wanted to make sure I position people to be their best and position organizations to be their best.
That's outstanding. So you just went all the way in the Wayback Machine, pulled out that trigger moment, that moment that something really meant something to you, and you just embedded that into your business and a lifelong promise that satisfies you and those that you serve, which I think is amazing.
Absolutely.
So what is the vision you're currently working towards, both professionally and personally? So you have your promise, which is what you deliver, professional development. Talk a little bit about your vision, and you talked about this in the article as well.
Yeah, and then the vision is still centered around developing people and organizations to be their personal best. But it also, the vision is ever evolving. So if you are a good leader, you know, you set your vision, and it's a time vision. But we also have to tweak and make adjustments. So my vision is like looking into the future and seeing what should it look like. You know, how has it evolved? You know, we went from, you know, heavily focusing on education as far as university to now looking at how do we make sure we're just educating ourselves individually. So my vision is developing McPherson Berry & Associates to be the leading in the market for providing human resource services and outsource services. So we want to be the go-to firm for HR. And what does that actually mean? Because most of the time when people think about HR, they think, oh, payroll and benefits. No, my vision is helping organizations develop their talent, period. Their talent, because I'm a firm believer, an organization is only as successful as the people who deliver on it every day, the people who support it every day. And I'm gonna say that again. An organization is only as successful as the people who contribute to it every day. That is the talent internally at all levels and the customers and stakeholders in which they serve. So it's not just about within the company, it's how they also have an impact on externally. So my thing is looking into the future and making businesses, companies, whether they are small businesses, entrepreneurs, you know, small businesses to large corporations, just making sure that they are cost effective, they're productive and efficient, that they're delivering on their promise. And then looking at how do we strengthen their brand. And the way that we strengthen, helping them strengthen their brand is through their people so that they can better deliver.
That's amazing. You know, I've stood on stage with you and I have felt that conviction in you. And I have watched through time-based engagements where you really do deliver on that lock, stock, and barrel. Like you really do. And so as I stood beside you and not just felt the energy of that, because it isn't just about documents and presentations, it's about hard work, physical energy, emotional energy. Is there a moment in time where you feel like you really know where that impacted another client or another individual that sits in your mind that you hold as like, wow, this was really worth it?
I'll tell you, one of the key things is, and I'll share two. First, I will share, even from a small business standpoint, the vision that I had of how do we create better small businesses? I'm a first generation business owner. So my thing was, I made a lot of mistakes and I don't want future business owners to make those mistakes. And so I spent a lot of time working in capacity building programs, helping to create them. And one in particular is the Emerging Young Entrepreneurs Program that's offered through NMSDC. I had this idea. I'm like, okay, when I looked around, okay, I hope I won't offend anybody. But when I went to the conferences and I looked around, majority of the businesses were well-established businesses that were 20 plus years. Then when I looked at my business, who was considered one of the younger businesses, it's like there were fewer of us. So my thing was, why is there such a big gap? What can we do? And so creating this Emerging Young Entrepreneurs Program was a way to create a pipeline of the next generation of minority businesses, but a next generation of entrepreneurs, period. So how do I make that happen? And how do I make sure and infuse that? Brooke, is more so the fact I looked at how can I help develop businesses? Again, I told you, I'm first generation. I am not one of those large ones that are at the $1 billion level. However, I can honestly say that I've helped make a lot of $1 million businesses, which can grow to $1 billion businesses. So I utilize the experiences that I have, the education that I've been able and been afforded, and better yet, just some of the best practices and pulling the right people into the room to develop these entrepreneurs so that they can grow on their success and be successful. And having done that over the last minimum 10 years, it is amazing now that some of these businesses are now our clients. They have come back to us because they've grown by leaps and bounds and said, Lasagna, we want you to handle our HR. We know that you're committed to the cause, and I've learned and grown with you so much. So not only do we offer the HR to their talent, but I'll still work with a lot of these CEOs in their organizations and helping them to develop as executive leaders. So it goes from the organization to executives.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that cycle. I saw them come back and support you and give back to the program and talk about how that affected them. So that, to me, in terms of what I do on a daily basis, that is what we call the completion of the brand promise life cycle, right? You spoke to the primary audience who then became secondary audience who came back and became the primary audience. Mm-hmm. And we love that. And so I just want to say congratulations on that because that's huge. And I watched your testimonials firsthand live. So next, you know, each business has its own unique barriers and challenges. And, you know, generally speaking, for all of the businesses that we work with that are under that $1 billion mark or above, the number one barrier is usually yours truly, right? The individual, the CEO, but then there's realistic barriers that happen from the, you know, the surrounding environment, the category, the industry truths, behavioral truths, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So for you in your world as a business owner, I think it would be really great to hear how you choose to overcome barriers and challenges and to turn them into competitive advantages or strengths.
Ooh, that's a mouthful, Brooke. And I can tell you, I'm going to tell you kind of like the evolution of it, because I'll share this. Again, as being a first generation business owner, there were a lot of mistakes that I made, even in trying to deliver on my promise. But, you know, mistakes are going to happen. Changes are going to happen. It's just how you respond to them. And I want to quote this, what I just heard over this past weekend, which is a great fit to this. As a leader, whether you're the business owner or you're a leader in an organization, you have to have the capabilities of making the hard rights instead of just the easy no's. What do we mean that by that? So what I mean by that is the fact that you got to have the toughness to deliver the hard conversations. And that's where I really had to grow. Being such a giver and what people will quote as being a yes person or a person that's always giving, giving, giving. Sometimes I had to realize that you can't give so much that your cup starts to get empty. You have to pour from your saucer. So being in business, challenges are going to come. The key thing is once you got to go back and look at what happened. How did we get here? What made us fall? We got to get back to the beta. So you got, if when the challenges happen, what got you there? How did it happen? Instead of just worrying about how you're going to pick yourself up and coming up with a solution, I think the most important thing is to look at how did you get here? How did this happen? Right? Once you realize that, then you should start focusing on the solutions. Ask for forgiveness, make the adjustment, and deliver. So look at how you got there. How did you fall? How did this challenge come about? How was the mistake made? Okay. Then look at what do we do now? Implement the solution. Do right by the individual or organization. Do what your brand promise is and go forward. It gets back to what I talked about before, Brooke, talking about that grace. So as business owners, we have to be strong in change management. Change is going to happen. So there's no need for you to sit there and beat yourself up. It's almost like you should expect it, because that's where the real growth happens. Because if things are going along really well, you're not really growing. You're just living. You're surviving. But when those challenges come, whether you dip a little bit, you got to go back up, that's where the real growth happens. That's when you start to excel. That's when you take your businesses to the next level. And that's where your leadership also grows.
You said something in the article that I found to be riveting. And that was that if you're doing anything but that, you're just going, you're not growing. And I love that phrase. You may want to put that on a t-shirt, but I thought that was fantastic. And we highlighted it. So it was good to hear you talk about it and to watch it come alive with you. So has your vision led you to coaching the next generation of emerging business leaders and entrepreneurs, or is it the reverse? Which way did it really happen for you?
You know what, Brooke, I would look at it as the fact that it was something that I was already doing. And then I recognized that I was doing it. And then I go, okay, how can I do more of this? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of what I was doing naturally and figured out how to do it on a grander scale and have more of an impact. Because people started coming to me and I was asking myself, why in the world are they coming to me? And I'm like, maybe it's they're thinking that I'm a motivator. And they were like, Lasagna, you a motivator, but you have more knowledge than what you realize. And I'd like to say that I do give myself grace with that, because I still don't think I know enough. So I'm always looking to grow and grow and grow and not realize I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. Hence why people like coming to me. It's not about me and inflating my ego. No, it's more so about what can I do to help and support others. And because I'm such a conduit and it flows through me. And that's the thing I had to learn, is to allow it to flow through me and not hoard it and hold all of it just for myself. But how do I give it and help other people? But the key thing is I had to learn how to do it where it was more productive, efficient, but more importantly, that I did not put myself in a situation where I was giving all of myself and leaving nothing for me and McPherson Berry. So I had to find that perfect, and I don't even like to say the word balance, but I had to make the proper adjustments to be able to do that. So hopefully, Brooke, I answered your question in sharing that.
You did. And I continue to find myself enjoying always the passion, but also the evidence-based components of your answers. You know, there's a lot in each of your answers. And even when you're just, when I'm observing you mentoring someone, whether it's your team or a cohort or even my team, it's really fantastic. This is one that I think, you know, I think every entrepreneur, no matter how seasoned or how emerging they are, relates to the idea of mistakes and can take comfort. Like I could take that segment of us just talking about that and play it over and over and over and just list the mistakes I've made in business too. There's none of us that don't have that, right? And the notion of trying to pretend like we don't have it is, I think, very, very outdated and not even healthy. At the same time, every business goes through highs and lows. Every entrepreneur goes through highs and lows. What coaching can you give people about how to think through that and how to go from the lows to the highs and the highs to the lows? What stability can you give them as coaching insight?
Couple of things. One, first thing is expect it to happen. If you don't have tough skin and you are not in it for the long haul, then entrepreneurship and being a business owner is not for you. It's almost you can guarantee that you're going to have peaks and valleys. The second thing that I would say is getting you the right support system around you. Your family members may not always understand what you're going through. So getting you the right set of peers that are around you, that one, that are business owners. And then you got to get those peers that are not business owners, but strong in business insight, okay? Because you need someone who can give you a different perspective. I know you probably have heard of this thing of group thing. Yeah, business owners, we tend to hang together, but we're oftentimes going through the same things together. So we need to have those business leaders who we can pull on to give us that perspective. And then we need those individuals who has nothing to do with your business. That's more of a personal person for you to encourage you, that you can go in and go into that private room or have that private call with them where you're just spilling your soul without it being an impact to your business, right? Some things we can't share in our entrepreneur circles. Something we can't share with our business leaders. We need that individual who we can go and share about us. And I have a couple of people. I've expanded that circle just a little bit in doing that. And, you know, honestly, for me, at that core, and I had to learn to kind of bridge that a little bit, it's always been my parents. Neither one of them were business owners. Neither one of them have been executive in corporations. But for people who are more so blue collar workers who've just experienced life, they have been my biggest supporters. And they've been my wisdom helpers. Do they do everything right in life? Absolutely not. And that's the thing you learn from people who have made mistakes. But at the core, I know that they have my best interests at heart. And then I've expanded that circle a little bit over time, friendships that I've had for 30 plus years, for people who are even older than I am, but we've had those friendships for just that long, that know me as a core, as a person, and can have that strong, hard conversation with me as to say, you know, with the gentle gloves on, maybe LaSanne, you might want to look at this a little different. And they know the right time in which I'm ready to receive that information. So your circle needs to have other circles to make a stronger circle. It's almost like having bands. And the more bands you have, the stronger that you are. And it helps you to exercise those muscles. So you got your executives, your business executives, you got your band of other entrepreneurs. And I'm also a part of a mastermind group that we've been meeting for 10, 11 years. That's another band that I have. And we pray together, you know, because I won't bottle this up for anyone that I'm a Christian and I believe in prayer. So that's the other band of it. And then that one that gets a little closer to home, that intimate group of people that may be your family members or your best friends that you can also share in. I think all of that is important. It takes a community to some degree to be a part of your inner circle. Okay. My inner circle seems like it's big, but it's really not that big. My inner circle is small and tight, but it's small and right.
Sounds very organized too.
Well, I'll say this, after making enough mistakes, you just learn. I'm not as organized as I would like to be, but I'll just say this. The whole rest of this whole conversation we have, when we're talking about brand, and my business brand is one thing and my personal brand is another. And I did not realize that even though I was focusing on building my business brand, but my personal brand was being built. It was already being built prior to that. And I did not realize that I actually had a brand. And people say when they see me, I'm this and I'm that. And I had to adjust my brand because I'm an ex-IBMer, ex-year. I'm very corporate and, you know, blue suit. You know, everybody said, you're so professional. Can you learn how to relax it a little bit? And I'm like, I've always been such a serious person. So I've had to learn to make an adjustment with my personal brand. But all of that ties back into it. So when you have those challenges, you know, in all that you do, you got to remember, you still got to keep your personal brand and your business brand to the forefront. So you can't explode in front of customers. You can't explode, you know, in public places and just come off and do certain things because you're still representing your company.
And I remember the first time you and I talked about you having a personal brand. And I know you liked that concept and that language. But you, like you said, you weren't necessarily so intense about what that meant, but it is really an important asset, not just of I want to have a personal brand, but it's an important asset of the business you build as a business owner and a CEO. And so it's great to hear you talking about that.
I want to add one more thing before we leave this, because I think it's also important. I think, we think as business owners about building a brand. One of the things I want us to consider is the fact that as business owners and CEOs, principals, leaders, you're all executives. And that's why another thing that McPherson Berry does is developing executives, because even though business owners understand their craft or they are experienced in whatever the service or product that they're delivering, not everyone has had management and executive development. And that's something that you have to work on. And I think sometimes when we look at brand, I think, that tends to be overlooked. And again, that's one of the things that we looked at. There's a gap. So you can have the best product and deliver the best service, but if you can't sell it and you can't come across to be the business leader that you need to be, people are not going to buy from you and they're not going to do business with you, because people do business with who they know, like, and trust. And so you have to stand up and be that executive, be that personal brand executive, for that personal advocate for your business. And that means making sure that you know how to be an executive.
I've been spending time lately thinking about the fact that it's whether your personal or your professional brand inside of your business or the company that you represent or work for. But then I've also been thinking lately a lot of the fact that that personal brand extends into community. It extends into that family household. It extends into faith-based. It's all over us, depending on who and what you think and what you believe. But that personal brand, like if we think about the children that we're raising and how we talk to them and how we treat them, how we listen, the challenges that we give them, the same thing should be happening in our businesses, should be happening with our clients, our partners. It's very, it kind of like cuts through everything. So it's great to hear you talk about it like that too. How should people get in touch with you?
All right. So the best way, we all cringe, was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. So the best way to get in contact with us, we have our website, www.mcphersonberry.com. That's mcphersonberry.com. We have a contact page. You can actually go to that page and tell us exactly what part of HR or what a part about your business you need help with. And that comes to the team and we can handle it from there. If you need to reach me personally, I don't have a problem. Lasagna@mcphersonberry.com is my personal email. Business number 800-325-5269.
You've done it.
I won't give out the mobile just yet.
Well, Tanya, as always, I cherish every conversation that we could have. I always learn more and I always feel energized by you. To learn more, check out the article, Driving Equity Through the Diverse Supply Chain, mbemagazine.com, and look for Beyond the Logo, a content series between Jane Agency and MBE Magazine. Look to align around a strategic brand platform for you and your team. Contact clarity@janeagency.com. Want a more self-directed path to brand clarity on your terms? Check out the DIY opportunity at Clarity University by scanning the QR code in the article or by visiting our website, Jane Agency, JaneAgency.com/clarity-university/.
And thank you both. That was a very powerful discussion, full of a lot of gems. Thank you, Lasagna. Thank you, Brooke. As always, it's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's mbemag.com/pulse. We'll talk to you next time.